I don't know if you've ever really had the chance to engage a different culture. I can think of two cultures that I've had space to engage a bit more, and one being our local indigenous community. And in any cultural engagement, you come face to face with the things that you never even thought of, the things that we had no category for, but you learn what that is. I remember one small example. We spent a summer in the Caribbean, and the thing that got in my head was that they liked eating the chicken bones. And that was like a delicacy, was to chew these bones. And I'm someone who picks every bone out of the chicken, and I just want the meat. But that was the tiniest little cultural thing that I realized, wow, there is a whole different set of values and understandings that goes with these people. And when we read scripture on Sunday, we read it through our own cultural lens. And if we have never engaged a culture outside of ourselves, then we will have a harder time seeing what those blind spots are as we read and learn. I think a lot of the misunderstandings and confusions that we run into across political spectrum or in interpersonal relationships are actually cultural issues, be it family culture, be it political culture, geographic culture. Think of our last election, every election that is rural and urban. That's a cultural difference that we're encountering there, and it's the rare politician that seems to engage that in a helpful way. We spent yesterday with Cree Métis Elder Elsie Paul yesterday, who was, you might summarize what she was doing with us, is introducing us to her understanding of her traditional culture and what she brought. And I've experienced every time I've been able to sit with someone like that, that I'm challenged in my own assumptions and what I think is the normal way of doing something, and it opens up a new pattern for me. We watched a video called Home Fires that we'll actually give another chance to watch, because we came away thinking this is something that others need to take part in, to hear this story and present it in a helpful way. Something that struck me from that was the way they presented the tribal culture before European settlement and a series of circles. And at the center of the indigenous culture were the children. That is what they spoke of being the center of everything else that happened, and the strength of a community being tested in how the children were doing. The next ring moving out from there were the elders and the women who had a place of teaching and caring for the community. The farthest ring out were the men who were in the place of protection and sourcing food and that sort of work. And I found that helpful to see that as a structure and to realize, I don't know if that's how I think of my culture. I don't know if that's how I think of how our community is structured. And I began thinking of how we might swarm around our children as a community at St. Augustine's, and how is faith taught in that sort of context, where it's not only the parents who are doing the teaching, but she described how they would go from teepee to teepee, you know, and get food and different teachings and learning different things. And so how could our kids have that similar experience? Because it should not just be one person doing the teaching, but each of you, with your experience and skill in living as a Christian person, have something to teach that only you can share. Noah said, people are building different things. And I think our kids need to learn those different ways from different people. You know, what would they learn in particular from the Altar Guild? What would they learn in particular from those who set up coffee? What would they learn from the gang? What would they learn from those who are engaged in other ministries outside of the community? How does this function among us? Began think the video left me thinking of my own kids and how I'm doing in my role of opening them to spaces where they can be taught and brought guidance and nurtured well. How does that function within our own family? And I was going in this direction even before Mother's Day was in place, because part of my reflection was leading one of the cultural areas that I think we have a lot to learn is the strength of women in our communities. And every time I've had a chance to sit with an elder, I feel like I've received some deeper teaching about the strength of women in our communities as the center of who we are. We had Elsie herself as an example of this. She's 75 years old. She said this to us, a grandmother. She got up towards the end and did the Red River Jig to honor her Métis heritage. She presented to us for about 5 hours straight, and you know, I think we were all drooping at different times, but she seemed steady and going strong. She spoke of the trouble she has encountered in her life in not being in a place to raise her own children well, and so feeling like she had a second try with her grandchildren to do a better job of that. And so there is an image of a woman who has suffered and walked in a new way and has found herself a strength in community and is sharing that strength with us in what we do. I was told in another example, I was told that about the treaties that were in our land, that they were etched out among the men, which was a mistake, because they were about land ownership, effectively, and yet it was the women of the tribe who were effectively the landowners. And so the men, if you think of the protection and the hunter-gatherer kind of shape of things, it was the women who held the space of the land and had that care. Elsie shared with us some of the teepee teachings, and they're all feminine teachings. They're all about that caring and protecting. The shape of the teepee is a woman's skirt, and so this, you know, the treaties, they did not learn enough when those were being shaped to do that in a good way with the tribes. The traditionally, women are so highly regarded. The answer I've received is that they are the bringers of life. That innately, like the teepee, there is space there for life to exist. And the deep honor that comes with respecting that life is passed down generation to generation through the woman. We are all alive today because we had a mother. And we give thanks, especially today, for our mothers that gave us life and that we seek to carry on and honor there. In the teaching of the smudge, women don't partake normally in smudging during their monthly time. Someone told me that the reason for this is that in those days of the month, women are considered nearly divine. This goes against our quiet nature about these things, but it makes sense. If God is the giver of life, and women are the way that God has chosen to share the way of life, then this is not a matter for shame, but of deep honor and reverence and respect for what God is doing. There is another teaching as well about how we must honor both the male and the female in a balanced and healthy life. In the ceremony of the sweat lodge, this is emphasized in the focus of what comes about. In the sweat lodge ceremony, the setup is the lodge itself, which is a crisscross of willow branches and covered over so it is completely dark. And then in front of it, There is a fire where the stones are heated, and they are eventually brought in as part of the ceremony. And there are four rounds within the lodge of prayer and of singing. And then as you are leaving, and the image is like a womb, you are crawling out of the small door in front, and right in front of you is a buffalo skull. And you are to touch the right-hand horn of the skull, and then around the fire and touch the left hand. And this is a very earthy thing we're doing, but it is to symbolize that the male and the female live within us. That a healthy humanity has both at work. Maybe to say a healthy country holds the gifts of both in a good way together. And so this is inner work that we are invited to do, and how to honor the gifts as they live in us and at work in us. We see an example of this in the very person of Jesus. And I think held up on a day we're thinking about him in the shape of a shepherd in that role where these are held together. A shepherd has both the protection and the nurturing worked in together. We hear in our readings how Jesus speaks intimately of how the sheep know his voice. We think of a mother and the child knowing the voice before even birth comes about. And yet, within this image is an image of strength that not one of these can be snatched from my hand. We hear God saying with a fierceness that we can never be snatched from God's hand, that God's protection is so deep and so full that there is nothing that can take us away. There is nothing that can break God's love and pull us away. We think of how he spoke of Jerusalem and gathering the city like a mother hen gathers chicks under her wing. We think of how he did his work in strength and suffering and yet remained tender to those who needed him and deep connections. This is part of our inner work to see where we need to grow in these areas and deepen in this strength. And as Elsie spoke, I found myself reflecting on the state of our church, both local and otherwise, and how in most churches, women seem to be in the majority. And I had a New Testament prof who said he was bold enough to say that whenever the church has been in transition, women have come into leadership. And he saw that as a strength. I know some churches are still wrestling with that and how women might be in leadership. He was bold to say, these are gifts that we actually need, and that the gifts of men in leadership and the gifts in women in leadership are different, and they need to be both honored in the work. We're a church in transition, and so maybe it's part of God's work that women have come into stronger leadership in this time. I know in global context, many of the stories I've found myself celebrating have been stories of the Mothers Union. In Burundi, there are stories of the evangelism and the teaching and the support that they were about in the community. And there was such an image of strength of how these women were at work. And it is not a far step to think of our local community here. And we all know each other, and we know the strength of women that is here. We know the work that is being done in how this community has strength and caring for one another and is enriched by each of us present. And I'm okay with women being the core of the church. I think if it is the way of life that God has made for us through the woman, it makes sense that God's church also has that at the core of who we are and what we do. I almost appreciate in Aboriginal context, men are kind of spoken about incidentally. Like they're helpful when they're helpful, but they're often not helpful. And so, you know, keep them a little farther away. But women we need. Women we can't do without. And a healthy culture and a healthy church has a deep honor of women and how we exist. Dorcas Tabitha, who we heard of in our reading in Acts, is an example to us of what a strength she was in that community. Through fabric art, through her care of that community, such that at her death, there was such a cry for her life and willing to go to the lengths to bring Peter and honor her life, that she would share in the resurrection of Jesus and be a witness of Jesus' resurrection in that community and now to us as we hear. So we wish today simply to honor her example as a witness of Christ and honor the witness of women in our community with the appropriate reverence that must go along with that. Thanks be to God.